This week, the Better Off Out podcast takes the form of a report from the London European Referendum Conference that was organised by Gerard Batten, MEP. Gerard is, of course, the UKIP MEP for London. Now, this event was held at the Abbey Centre in Westminster and was attended by over 200 people, all of whom had come to discuss the Brexit campaign in London, how it was going to be organised and how it was going to be run. What follows is a report that I put together, which includes interviews with some of those taking part, as well as the speech that I gave to the conference. We start in the street outside as I introduce the event. The first voice that you hear is that of Councillor Lawrence Webb, who is a councillor for UKIP. After him comes Gerard Batten, MEP. And then third, we have John Mills from Labour Leave. So those are the first three speakers. You've got Lawrence Webb, Gerard Batten and John Mills. And after that, we move into an interview with John Mills. We then have Caroline from Leave EU, followed by my speech. And then we're back to Gerard again. So sit back and enjoy it. Let it all wash over you. Right, well, we're here in Westminster. Behind me is the Abbey Centre, used to be the public baths here. It's now a conference centre. And I'm here for the London Brexit conference organised by Gerard Batten, the UKIP MEP for London. They've got a great lineup of speakers in there. I'm speaking as well, but I suppose you can't have everything. Now, I thought I was getting here early, but there's already quite a stream of people going in. So I think I'd better pop in, see what's going on. Welcome to the first of our EU referendum campaign meetings. The campaign has, I think, kicked off already now. I think the fact that David Cameron is talking about his renegotiations, and we need to get ourselves ready to fight to leave the EU.
Today isn't actually too much about the politics from my point of view, but of course I'll very quickly mention David Cameron, who you know is now renegotiating our relationship with the EU. And it reminds me of that school report of the pupil where the teacher wrote, this boy has set himself very low standards and is failing to maintain them. Now, this kicks off the referendum campaign in London. As I said, it's not so much about the politics, but about the practicalities of how we're going to do this. You and all the other UKIP members in London are the ground troops. I hope you realise that. If you don't, you do now. Because the other groups who are going to speak to you today, two of them anyway, are vying for the leadership of the official Leave campaign. For that, they have to submit their application to the Electoral Commission. And one of them will win it. But whoever wins it, I hope that we're all going to be able to work with them and they are all going to be able to work together. Because if we don't win this referendum, and we've had to wait 40 years for it, I don't think there's going to be another one. So there isn't a second chance. We must win this referendum, and we can. And before I continue, I'd just like to say about the reason why there's a referendum. There is only one reason why there's been a referendum is going to take place, and that's because of the UK Independence Party. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Gerard, for inviting me to this meeting here. It's a real pleasure to be with people who are very much the same side as I am on the EU issue. Now, let me tell you just a little bit about my background. Gerald's right. I have got form on all this. I was the election agent, believe it or not, in 1975. When I have to say the situation in many ways is very different from what it was now, or what it is. For one thing, there was no control at all over expenditure. Absolutely massive amount of money poured in on the side of giving us in the European Union. On the press, in 1975, there were three newspapers only, national newspapers, or one that wasn't even national, that advocated us coming out. One was the Daily Worker, one was the Spectator, and one was the Dundee Herald. So you can see what we were up against then. And of course, the situation was very different then, because at that time, Labour was split roughly 50-50 down the middle. It was the Conservatives, about 80-20, wanting to stay in. And I must say, if I can say this, one of the things that grieves me at the moment is the extent to which the Labour Party nationally is committed to fighting for staying in, irrespective of what comes out of the negotiations that are going on. And I have to say, Labour are heavily supporters to UKIP and Conservative and other people as a result of all this. And let me tell you actually one interesting story. One of the organisations that I'm was chairman of at the time was called Labour for a Referendum. And we did a poll on election day on how much difference it made to the way people voted because there was no promise of a referendum in the Labour manifesto. And what this showed was that about 15% of UKIP voters and Lib Dem voters would have been, sorry, not UKIP, Conservative and Lib Dem voters would have been more inclined to vote Labour if there had been a referendum promise, and not surprisingly, 30% of UKIP voters. Well, we then did a quick calculation to see how many seats that would have altered, and the answer was about 8, including Ed Balls' seat. Now, if Labour had won 8 more seats, at the time than they did, and the Conservatives had won 8 less, we wouldn't now have a Conservative government. Now, actually, also, we wouldn't have a referendum. So maybe that cut both ways.
All right, well, I'm here at a conference organised by Gerald Batten, UKIP MEP for London. This is open to anybody who really wanted to come along and learn about how the campaign is going. Now, I've bumped into John Mills, who's the head of Labour Leave, who sang a few words earlier. John, how are things going in Labour Leave?
I think it's going pretty well. We've got loads of invitations to meetings all over the country, which we're attending. There tend to be quite a lot of people there at the meetings. We tend to get quite substantial portions of these meetings supporting what we say. The Labour Party nationally is campaigning for staying in, but there's clearly a very substantial minority, probably, not a majority, but a minority of Labour voters who don't agree with the party line, and we represent.
I see. Now, of course, the vast majority of Labour members of Parliament are going to be wanting to remain within the European Union. How are you finding the balance amongst Labour Party members and Labour voters?
Well, I think there's two quite important questions here. Of existing Labour voters, I would have thought maybe a quarter or a third are in favour of coming out. But if you take the Labour voters who were there, say, in 2010 or in earlier elections, I think the proportion is much higher, because unfortunately I think what the Labour Party's done is to lose a lot of votes as a result of the line it's taken on the European Union and the referendum promise that wasn't in the manifesto in 2015.
And if anyone wanted to join Labour Leave, how would they go about doing that?
Oh, they look us up on the internet, you'll soon find all the connections, where to get in touch with us, and just make sure you do.
Okay, that's great. Well, thanks for taking time to talk to us. That was John Mills, ahead of Labour Leave, talking about how Labour voters and Labour activists can get involved in the campaign to take Britain out of the European Union. OK, I'm at the conference in London organised by Gerard Batten, the UKIP MEP. I've met Caroline Stevens, your head of training at Leave EU, which must be a very important place. You must be travelling around the country a lot doing that. Now, we've heard all sorts of stories. What's your attitude to the voters in this? Because they are, after all, the most important people here.
Well, yes. I mean, firstly, we've got lots of activists. They're our customers. Mm-hmm. And in turn, those activists are going out onto the streets. They're going to view the people in the street mm-hmm. as potential customers. So in any environment, sales environment, what you do when you're dealing with customers, you're going to find out what their needs are, where they're coming from, really what floats their boat. So you're going to be asking them, you're going to be listening. Hmm. Listening is the key.
Indeed. Now, also, I've been out on the streets all over the country as well. I'm finding quite a lot of regional differences about what people are interested in. I've just come back from Cornwall. There was a lot of interest in the common fisheries policy and stuff down in that area. When I was up in Scotland, on the other hand, a lot of people were a lot more concerned about heavy industrial issues, and if you like, the traditional industries. How are you finding different parts of the country?
Yeah, because I know when you were in Cornwall, I was in Herne Bay, Whitstable,
of course you were, yes.
Goole and Grimsby, and yes, fishing didn't pop up in conversation. But then you go to speak in Walsall, and you're talking about manufacturing jobs. So people do have different situations that they're concerned about. But the bottom line is, a lot of people do want to take control back, whether it be for the rules and regulations, whether it be, you know, sovereignty issues, European arrest warrant. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, I know you're busy here, but I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of people are here, but
it's great.
It's great. So I know you've got to get round to them. Thank you for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you, Rupert.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, first of all, good afternoon, everybody. Did you have a nice lunch? Oh, come on, it was better than that. Did you have a nice lunch? That's a bit more like it. Well done. Anyway, first thing I've got to do is to thank Lawrence and Gerard for arranging the meeting today. I know how much work goes into these things, having done it myself. Very well done, very smoothly organised, so thank you to you. And thank you, of course, to all of you lot for turning up. If it wasn't for you, I would be once again speaking to an empty hall. Now, my father was born in London. Not only was he born in London, he was actually born within the sound of Clove Bells, which, according to folklore, of course, makes him a true Cockney. And when he was old, and when he was getting on in years, my sister and I arranged for him to go back to the house where he was born. We made arrangements with the person who was living there then, for us to go in, and he could see the room where he'd been born all those years ago. And as we were coming out afterwards, I looked at my watch. That was about 3 minutes to 3. So I said to him, I said, Dad, just a minute. He said, let's stop here. We'll be able to hear the sound of bow bells. And he looked at me as if I was a complete idiot. And he said, you can't hear the sound of bow bells from here. I said, but Dad, I said, all your life you've been saying you were born within the sound of bow bells. He said, I was, he said. But he said, there's two reasons you can't hear bow bells here today. He said, first of all, look around you. Lorries, buses, cars, there's so much noise here now. He said, back when I was born, there was just a few posh people up west had cars. Around here, we walked. So you'd be able to hear the sound of bow bells. He said, the second reason you can't hear them is because in May 1941, the Luftwaffe came calling, and there aren't any bow bells any longer. Now, the reason I wanted to start with that little anecdote is to show you how much the world changes and how fast the world can change. When my dad was born, nobody in his street had a telephone because nobody could afford it. And nobody in his street had a television because that hadn't been invented yet. But here we are today. First thing Lawrence had to say when we all gathered here was, please switch off your mobile phones. Because he can take it for granted that the majority of us here today do have mobile phones and do have them on us. The world is changing, the world is becoming busier, it's becoming more prosperous. Now, the European Union quite often likes to take credit for things that it hasn't done. We are not richer because of the European Union, we're richer because of the hard work of the people of this country and the increased opportunities for trade. The European Union likes to take credit for peace in Europe. It's not because of the European Union, it's because of NATO. But in one important respect, the European Union is even worse. It's stuck in the past. The European Union was founded back in the 1950s, and its corporate mindset hasn't changed since. It looks upon itself as a great trading bloc, because it was founded in the time of big trading blocs. But the World Trade Organization has moved things on from there. The trading blocs are all gone. We have now demonstrated that free trade makes people more prosperous and better quality of living. The European Union doesn't like democracy. It was founded very soon after certain gentlemen by the name of Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini had been democratically elected to power. It distrusts democracy just as it distrusted democracy then. And it doesn't like individual freedom. It doesn't like individual freedom because if they give you the freedom to do things, you might choose to do the wrong thing, but we have shown that freedom brings with it innovation, new ideas, and again, better standards of living. The European Union is an organisation that was founded in the 1950s to solve the problems of the 1930s using the techniques of the 1890s. It is old-fashioned, it has failed, it is finished, and Britain would be better off out. Our job is to make sure that happens. So I'm going to start with one thing that they're absolutely knocked on the head. We've had several questions here today about the different organisations that are campaigning for a Leave vote. Right. I am the National Campaign Manager for Better Off Out, and I spend quite a lot of my time having meetings with the National Campaign Manager from Vote Leave, or having phone conversations with the National Campaign Manager for Leave EU, or exchanging emails with the National Campaign Manager for Grassroots Out. We all cooperate. We all talk to each other. Do you see a street stall for Better Off Out in the same street at the same time as there is a street stall for Vote Leave? No, because we tell each other when we're having street stalls so we don't duplicate, okay? Do you see Leave.eu going out on the streets delivering leaflets and knocking on doors in the same town at the same place as Grassroots Out are doing the same thing? No, of course not, because their campaign managers tell each other what they're doing and they don't duplicate effort either. Yes, you all hear in the newspapers and online about disputes up there. Well, I know this is going to come as a huge shock to you lot, but you know, there's some big egos involved in politics.
No. No.
And sometimes those big egos disagree with each other. But at our level, you and me and Caroline, the people who get out on the streets, deliver leaflets, whether it's rain or shine or snow or hail, we are cooperating with each other because we don't care about egos. We just care about getting Britain out of the European Union. And I liken the four groups. I like to use a military analogy. It's unfashionable in some quarters, but I think it quite works. Vote Leave and Leave You are like the heavy artillery, the big guns. They're firing long-range weapons of enormous power, hitting the big targets. That's why they have spokesmen on Newsnight, why they send people to Question Time, why you see them being quoted in the national press. Grassroots Out, and you and UKIP, you're the poor bloody infantry. You go out and seize the ground and defend the territory. You man the street stalls, you deliver the leaflets, you go and knock on doors. Now, I like to think of Better Off Out more along the lines of these special operations services. The SAS. The commanders.
So we don't know you existed.
Admittedly, we're a slightly older version of that, with slightly better fed, and spend rather too much time in the pub. But I'll explain what I mean. We like to run a series of campaigns that while the big operations are hitting the big targets and while the poor bloody infantry are getting out there into the trenches and holding ground, we operate more like a sniper. Now, at the moment, we're running a campaign about the common fisheries policy and the damage it has done to the British fishing industry and to our marine environment. Very, very popular in certain coastal areas. Here in London, you probably haven't even heard of doing it. But we have shifted, believe it or not, 380,000 leaflets about the fishing industry. We have held meetings with fishermen, we have been to Northern Ireland, we've been to Scotland, we've been to Cornwall. And so it's a very focused, targeted campaign. It's worked well. Now, only a relatively small number of people are affected by the common fisheries policy, but they care deeply about it. Over the coming months, we're going to be going with other campaigns. We're going to be looking at the price of energy, something I'm sure might actually be of more interest in London, certainly in areas where family budgets are tight. We're going to be looking at issues that affect the elderly and the retired. And then you come on to one other point that was brought up earlier about the fact that when you go to meetings of activists, there aren't very many young people there. Don't worry about it. It was always thus in politics. I joined the Conservative Party. I don't think, but I joined the Conservative Party when I was 19 years old, and I joined because I lost a job because I didn't join the trade union. It was a closed shop, and I was fired. I joined the Conservative Party to support Norman Tebbit's trade union reforms. But when I walked into the room at the annual general meeting of the Conservative Party in my constituency, I was the only person under the age of 55. It has always been the case that people active in politics are people whose children have grown up, they've left home, they're retired or semi-retired, and have got the time to do it. Don't get hung up about it. But you're absolutely right, as gentleman back, and said we have to appeal to the younger people. You're absolutely right. Go to our website, www.betteroffout.net, or just Google Better Off Out. Sign up for us. Every month we send out a mailing that includes in it things to do. There is every week seven blog posts, infographics, things that you can stick on Twitter, things you can put on the Facebook panel. That's one every day. Okay? That's how you can reach the younger people. And the other two campaigns who are speaking here today are plug for them, so I'm going to plug for us. We do a lot more for younger people than anybody else. So go to our website, sign up, and get our materials. Now, I'm going to finish with something I think is very important. When my dad was born, within the sound of bow bells, he was born into a country that was independent, a country that was democratic, and a country that was becoming increasingly prosperous by trading across the globe. Britain is now none of those things. I want Britain to be independent. I want Britain to be democratic. And I want Britain to be prosperous. That is why I am campaigning for Britain to leave the European Union. That is why I'm asking for your help to come and join Better Off Out. And when we all do work together, and I know we can work together, and I know we will work together, we will win the referendum, and Britain will leave the European Union. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend. You're very privileged to see me with Alice Van Palmer.
Gerard, conference is over, everyone's packing up. I think this has gone really well. I don't know, hundreds of people you've had in this room, really good turnout. How do you feel it's gone?
Well, we had about 200 people, Rupert, and of course they're the committed UKIP activists, and there's a lot more people who couldn't come today, so I think it's gone terrifically well. The purpose, of course, was to bring together the different groups who are preparing for this referendum, get them to meet the troops, which are our activists, get them geared up and tell them what the activities are that they can take part in, and they will go back to their group, tell their friends and their fellow members what's to be done, and we'll all start to come together, and of course it will really start to come together when we know the date of the referendum.
That's right, yeah. I mean, a lot of things are only going on. I know UKIP are doing a lot. We had Vote Leave here, Leave EU, Federal Fat, of course, myself. I think the way we've worked together here is a real guide to the future, and you're absolutely right, we get it right. Meanwhile, you mentioned something about going down the pub. So,
UKIP event is complete until we've gone down the pub and ruminated on what we just talked about.
Excellent. Well, come on then, let's get down there.
And that's it for this week. Don't forget you can learn more about the Better Off Out campaign on our website, www.betteroffout.net. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and we have our own YouTube channel as well. Good luck, Brexiteers arise.